About that, and the idea is always that you're in the safe place. The safe bet is the corporate life, but it's not, man. I mean, Those people didn't know that they were. Oh, here you go. And if that's your sole source of income, you know.
Welcome to Thrive in the Future podcast: positive solutions to help you thrive, designing your intentional life, homesteading, gardening, and rediscovering culture and tradition. At Grow Nut Trees, it's time to plan for spring. I have elderberry cuttings and comfrey cuttings, as well as elderberry crowns available. And new this year are mulberry cuttings, and I'm working on getting some willow cuttings that'll be added pretty soon. In addition to that, I have new chestnuts, Qing chestnuts, that's spelled Q-I-N-G, and this is a half-sib Chinese chestnut. So what does that mean? There is one really famous chestnut tree. So a half sib means that it was grown from seed that came from that tree, open pollinated with other trees, usually hybrid chestnuts, not just Chinese chestnuts. These Qing chestnuts are grown local. I don't have very many of them, so jump on them right away. That's at grownuttrees.com.
Okay, we've had all our good sound bites already in our pre-interview.
We really did. I was like, well, Scott, let's turn on the recorder so we can get these.
That's right. So welcome back to Thrive in the Future. This week, I have John McCoy with me from John McCoy Writes. John, you've been on the podcast several times, all the way back to episode 75, where we had how to reinvent yourself as a freelancer. Mm-hmm. Give another intro for folks who haven't heard that episode.
All right. So I think that was a couple years ago. So yep. Coming up in April, I'll be at 4 years self-employed, which is insane to me. I cannot believe it. I can't believe I did it in the first place, let alone that it's been that long. And yeah, it's funny. I know you're an Air Force vet like I am. And yep. I don't know if your initial hitch was 4 years, but when I was 19, yeah, so mine was 4 years. And when you're 19, you're like, 4 years, that is a long time, you know? Mm-hmm. And now I'm like, man, it's like a road bump, you know, like I didn't even recognize 4 years is nothing. But anyway, so I'm coming up on 4 years, still doing the same thing, freelance writing. But I'd say SEO has become a lot bigger part of that. So not so much a full-fledged SEO, but just a very well-versed writer in SEO, so that I can kind of offer more services than just pure writing. But anyway, so I'm at going on 4 years now. And I guess I tweeted a few weeks or a couple weeks ago that you can pick up a skill, any skill you want, and reinvent yourself. And I did that. I had no background in writing besides high school and college. And it kind of fell in my lap. I've been doing this full time for almost 4 years, but I actually started, it's hard to believe, it's been 9 years ago next month when I first landed my very first client, was in February of 2016.
Wow.
So yeah, I know. I mean, I can't believe it's been almost a decade. And one thing I will tell people, if that's something you think you want to do, I had heard, I don't know if you ever heard of the Side Hustle Show podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. He's good. He's really good.
With Nick.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
I've been listening to him. Well, I haven't listened to him in a long time, but back then I listened to him. I mean, I'm 10 years ago. And he said it took him 4 or 5 years before he launched, you know, before he quit. He was working in a corporate job and before he was able to quit and do this full time. And I was like, no way. And it was right at 5 years. So if you really set your mind to it, you can honestly, if I set my mind to it more and not looked at it as a hobby, 3 years would have been probably more realistic, but definitely 5. If you put your mind to it, you can do it in 5 years. No problem.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit. I really like that tweet. And you also put it on LinkedIn about you can basically learn anything and make money off of it. Totally. And we're in super dystopia right now where,
yes,
you know, corporate jobs yesterday walked 35, they disbanded their project management office and walked 35 people to the door and said, oh, HR will be talking to you. And
that's rough, dude.
Yeah. I mean, that's not just a couple of people. That's, you know, 35 folks. So, you know, corporate life is getting grueling. You know, I've got And I've got an interview. I've got a review, not an interview. I've got a review next week. And yeah, so I might be following in their footsteps.
That's rough, man. You know, a lot of people, myself included, I worked for the Fed. I worked for the Department of the Army before I launched from there. And I know for this crowd, I can just say I quit in 2021 because of the vax mandate. I knew it was coming. So,
sure.
And, hey, I was in the Air Force. I took whatever inoculations you guys gave, not as a civilian. I am not doing that as a civilian. I subjected myself to being a human Petri dish as a service member, as we all did. But
oh, yeah.
As a civilian, I'm not doing that. You know, no way.
I still have the pictures of the super gun they have, you know, where they give you like four or five at one time.
Yeah, like hook it up to a freaking air compressor in the shop, you know.
Yeah, it was an air compressor. And you line up and they do that like four times, boom, 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 boom. And then you can't do a push up for a month.
Exactly. You know? Yep. So so that's why I quit then. And it was good. Honestly, I was actually way overdue. I was just really jaded and just tired of working. Not tired of working, but tired of working for someone else. Mm-hmm. And I would say, if you start to the audience, if you start building something to with the express purpose of replacing your full-time job, you need to have detailed timelines so you don't linger, because it'll be really dangerous to you'll get in that safe, you know, that comfort zone, and you'll linger. You need to get away from that. But so, you know, you're talking about that. And the idea is always that you're in the safe place. The safe bet is the corporate life, but it's not, man. I mean, nope. Those people didn't know that they were, oh, here you go. And if that's your sole source of income, you know, bye.
Right.
And so I had something right before Christmas. My biggest client let me go. I actually knew that was more or less knew it was coming. They didn't really communicate as well as I felt like they probably should have. But I've been doing this long enough to know it was coming. But even then, that was only about roughly half of my income.
Sure.
And so I guess, you know, that's the thing. Which one sounds more secure to you? You know, it's like, okay, well, that sucks. But I've already started genning up some warm leads I had, and I've started working with them and replaced close to a third of that income. And I've got a couple more that I'm going to talk to soon. Okay, that took me like 3 weeks, you know, and no HR, just talking to the founders or the CEOs and replacing that income. You know, if you haven't built something on the side and you're sitting there and suddenly you get walked to HR, you know, you take that walk of shame to HR, and, you know, no one wants to go to HR because everyone knows what it means.
it's not even a walk to HR anymore. They walk you to the door and then they say, HR will get you your stuff. If you're in the office, if you're not, HR will contact you. So, yeah, I mean, you know, I've seen people walk to the door and, you know, they don't know what's happening and then they don't come back. So, you know,
what a gut punch.
Yeah.
The last corporate, it wasn't a corporate, it was a distribution center at Target. That was right after I got out of the Air Force. I was in my 20s and I didn't get walked out, but I watched people get walked out and security would be there so that in case they flipped out, you know, they could protect HR from getting beat up. And what a horrible experience. And I'm just sitting there thinking to myself, it sucks losing a big chunk of income, but I've already, you know, been laying the tracks and the foundation. I had people interested and now I'm just spooling them up to replace that. And it's like, it's not really that big of a deal. So the point being, the best time to have started something for the audience was 5 years ago. And the second best time is right now. Which leads me up to that tweet. Now I will. So I'm a writer, but I also do mostly like on-page SEO. So like meta titles, meta descriptions, not the high level, like technical SEO, which is, you know, back end type of stuff. Mine is just on page, but you know, keyword research. The threshold to entry though, I always had a knack for writing. So it kind of came naturally to me. Writing though is one of the lowest thresholds to entry that you can start a service business doing. You know, you don't have to, I've looked into cybersecurity and I mean, it's, I know there's a lot of availability, but you really have to have four or five certs just to get through the door.
Sure.
There's nothing for writing. You write some samples for when you're talking like at the very beginning, write some samples, read up on what the competitors for the people you're pitching want, have, write some samples in your own words on a Google Doc and just put them in a folder that's unrestricted. And that's your portfolio. Like, it's really easy, now that's just to get your foot in the door. I've published somewhere in the ballpark now of 1,000+ posts. So, I'm at a much, my view of it is much more granular of what works and what doesn't, but you can start making money. Like, I didn't know what SEO was in 2016. I Googled, I'm like, what is this? I mean, the guy was looking on Upwork, and Upwork in 2016 was much, much smaller than it is now. So, sure. I mean, there just weren't a lot of people on it. And, I made my profile about aviation because that's what my background was. And there were very few people in aviation on there then. So I was able to get leads just because of that. So if you have a niche skill that you can, that, knowledge of a niche industry or skill, you can get started on there. But writing is not the only way. It's just the easiest way. So let's talk about, the changing tide. So I have actually a bachelor's and a master's degree, and I don't use them for anything. And I've never used them for anything. I honestly wish I'd saved my money and become an electrician or something useful. Just for my own needs, because my college degree has been completely worthless. So when I say you can reinvent yourself, you can, because no one's asking. They don't care. Like I said, if you're doing cybersecurity or something, you got to have, if you're in tech like you are, there's some things you got to have. And it's just the way it is. But as far as a lot of things in freelancing go, you don't have to have anything. You just have to show up with a portfolio and be willing to put in the work. And so it's not that hard. And it's never been easier to learn the skills that pay. Now, I will say Upwork is a great platform, and I highly suggest it for a couple of reasons. Number one, your pay is guaranteed. All right. It's locked in there. They handle all that. People that complain about it, the 10% fee or 20, I don't even know what the fee is now, but it doesn't matter, are dumb, because that first time and you're working off that platform or just land a client of your own and you can't get them to pay, will gladly give up 10% of that to a platform that makes sure you got paid,
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely. But beyond that, Upwork is a fantastic market research tool. So say if you are at zero right now, you've no idea what to do, no idea what skills actually pay the bills. You can go on Upwork, and every year about this time of the year, it's towards the beginning of the year, Upwork, I'm going to pull it up here, does a top skills, and they tell you right off the bat, I think they do it in March. They tell you right off the bat what the top skills, highest, most in-demand skills are on the platform. So if you're sitting there at 0 miles an hour and you're wanting to get, up to speed, they will tell you where to go. So the top three fastest growing skills, data science and analytics, generative AI modeling, machine learning and data analysis, web design, coding and web development, that's scripting and automation, database development. So I think that'd be like, SQL.
Yep.
And then web design, learn to build WordPress websites. People will pay you, people like me, because like every time I start building one, I'm like, I don't know what to do, but, email marketing, a friend of mine, one of my pocket friends off of Twitter, he was a attorney in Los Angeles, and he walked away from that because stress was killing him, eating alive, after 25 years. And now he does email marketing, and a lot of his leads come off of Upwork. Yeah, it's crazy. So, so Upwork will tell you right there. They'll say, hey, these are what's, these are what's in demand. And that's just based off of data they have, what's actually being purchased, so they're just a payment processing platform with some extra bells and whistles is really what they are. So they know what people are looking for, they have their finger on the pulse of it. And, so that is say you're at zero, you don't know what to do. You go on there and you find something that looks useful. And then that's where it gets cool. Go to your local library's website. I guarantee you most of them have this link. Topeka's has LinkedIn Learning for free.
For free.
For free. Yes. And LinkedIn Learning now has, I don't know, a million courses on it.
Right.
And if you're a veteran like you and I are, you can also get LinkedIn Premium for free, which LinkedIn Learning is part of that. So you just have to read.
So they said that's for a year. It's free for a year, but they've never come back and asked me for, it's been more than a year.
they have with mine. I have to go redo it every year, but it, really? I mean, even then, okay. Who cares? You know, you send your DD-214.
Oh, so you do the veteran check once a year and then they give it to you again for free. Okay. Okay. Yep. Yeah. I must not have hit a year yet.
Yeah. So you get that for free if you're a vet. There are some places where I think, I don't know how to pronounce it. Is it Udemy? I think that's what it's
Udemy. Okay. Yeah.
So Udemy, you can get that for free, but even if you don't, it's not that expensive.
I mean,
the cost for going with these services, is nothing like Skillshare, Udemy, LinkedIn Learning. You know, LinkedIn Learning is $40 a month if you have to pay for it out of pocket. But I'm going to tell most of you, you don't have to.
Right.
Just look a little bit, because like the Topeka Shawnee County Public Library has a whole bunch of free digital services. They have one for a coding school. They have ones for foreign language. They have LinkedIn Learning that has everything. So what I suggest people do, and I've talked about this in the past, is go to Upwork, find something that doesn't sound depressing. You know, you're like, I think you'd actually learn this. And just go plug it straight into LinkedIn Learning or Udemy, and you're going to have hits immediately. And I can almost guarantee you that you would learn enough for the things on there that don't require actual certification, which most of the skills on Upwork don't. You know, there's a few like financial management, CFO, and tax prep. I think you actually have to have a certification to do that stuff. But, most of the stuff like data entry, being a virtual assistant, email marketing, there's no certs for that. Just get on there, take some courses and learn, and then get started.
And one of the things is, even if you're like looking at core type skill, like project management, right? Yeah. Then there are ways, or even development, there are ways around the experience and cert model, right? Most of the time you can grandfather yourself into cert, basically, you know, like my son-in-law, Eric, who was on a few episodes ago when we were talking about AI, right? He got a contact with a company, a small company in Topeka, went to work in their tech support or their, you know, whatever, their call center, worked his way up, ended up becoming a, you know, project manager in a short period of time, and then leveraged that and went to another place. He doesn't have a degree, doesn't have a cert. And then you can turn around and you can say, like, I got my project management cert, and they said you can either have this much time as a project manager or this much time as a project, you know, participant. Right. So I turned it around and I did that. And nowadays it's, you know, there's some that's just you take a class, you know, you take a 1 day class, you know, so you spend $1,000 and you can get the cert. They guarantee you're going to pass the cert. So, you know, you can find some of those small out of the way places, work for them for a year, leverage it, turn around and double your salary after a year, you know?
Yeah.
So, and you know, if you want to go the corporate route, but even more interesting is learning the new skills, like get on there and learn AI, turn it around, SEO, whatever. I mean, all of those things are on LinkedIn Learning.
Yes.
There's plenty of stuff on YouTube. And, you know, the whole, I mean, the university system is about to implode.
God, I hope so.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
I really hope so.
You know, I mean, what they're training is they're training social workers, and it's just that, you know, that's just the way things work.
Yes. That's it. Or if, and there are a few things that you have to have the credential, like engineers, you know, like mechanical or civil engineers. You just have to go there. That's just, there's no way around it. I have a friend that's a mechanical engineer at a local company, and I actually told him, or I was talking to him about it, and he's like, you could learn everything I learned on YouTube if you were diligent enough. It's all out there. He's like, but you can't get the certs. You have to go to college for that.
Right.
And I was like, man, I mean, that's, it's even crazy then, that knowledge is there, you know, it's just there for the taking. It is the most amazing thing. We have lived in the most amazing time in human history, that learning and knowledge is right there for the taking. And yet somehow we are sitting in the midst of the biggest competency crisis of our lifetime, you know? So it's crazy that there is so much capacity to learn, but it just seems to be missing, because there seems to, the talent pool seems so shallow. And I think that's more of a social issue. That's not an education issue, but I'm to your point. Agreed. About the university system imploding. I really hope so. I mean, what good is it if you go plunk down $60,000? I don't even know what state education costs now. You're going to go to Washburn or Emporia State, and then you leave there and you're not marketable. You can't even do anything. I know it's totally anecdotal, but how many stories have we seen on LinkedIn of people talking about young college grads who are immediately turning around and considering going to trade school so they can get a job, you know, because they have to pay their student loans and they don't have any income, you know, short of night stocking the shelves at Dillon's, because at Kroger's, because that's the only thing they're actually qualified for. So, I genuinely hope that the university system implodes. I hope that as it rebuilds, you have like exactly six different pathways to choose from for your education. You know, you can go with fine arts. You can go with a classical education and read thick, dusty books, or it's purely math and science and basically nothing else. And, you know, that would be the best case scenario. What will actually happen? I have no idea, but I do know that I've already told all of my children, you guys are on your own. If you actually choose college, I'm not pulling the Dave Ramsey route and paying for your college, because it will be a waste of my money.
And that's and all of the college books, when you read them, they're like 4 or 5 years antiquated, right? So, you know, you'd say you're taking a tech course and it's 4 or 5 years. But you were talking about the folks that get out. My other son-in-law was a engineering student at KU, and he was going along, and they started flunking him because he added extra flourishes to his design projects. So when he put things on the CNC machine, he etched the Jayhawk into the whatever box he was using on the CNC machine, and they flunked him because he wouldn't follow the spec. And he said, hey, you know, this is cool. And they said, yeah, but we're training people to be basically button pushers at aerospace and at Coke.
Good grief.
And you just cost the company X extra thousands of dollars or whatever. So he had a internship at some place in Canada and actually developed over the summertime. And he developed a fire extinguisher for a race car.
Whoa.
Got a patent on it. And finally they hassled him so much at his job at the school that he just quit. Cause they said, you know, you're an artist and you're not an engineer. And now he's self-employed. And if he needs some engineer for a, you know, for some sort of, you know, government job or whatever thing, you know, some contract they're bidding on, then he'll hire an associate engineer to come in and help him. Yep. But he's the idea guy. Mm-hmm. He's the business guy. And, you know, and he's basically a self-made guy, right? So that's what we need to be doing. You know, the corporate thing is increasingly a dead end. Totally. And, you know, and what you learn today, you won't be able to use. It's never been more possible to reinvent yourself.
No. And that's the other thing. when you learn a skill, and this goes even now, the cool thing about writing is it's an evergreen skill. It's always going to be there. Right. But I mean, I have been working on learning complementary skills. I mean, especially in the 4 years since I've been doing it full time, all the time, because you can't stay static or you're going to get left behind.
Sure.
You know, because I've had so many, when I have interested parties reaching back out to me, they all want to know, do you do anything besides just writing? You know, do you have, do you bring anything else to the table? Because they need that. Right. So, you know, you have to get out of this mindset that you're going to be able to learn one skill and then that's it. That's not the way it works. That's not what the way the world works that we're living in. You're going, you can learn enough to get your foot in the door, but if you ever take your foot off the gas and stop learning, you're going to get left behind. But that's really cool about your son-in-law that decided that he was going to take matters into his own hand, and sad and foolish that that's how the education system, even at high level degrees, functions.
Yeah. So, and that's what bachelor's degrees basically are. They're the equivalent of high school diplomas from 25 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of the bachelor's degrees are now remedial high school stuff.
Yes.
And it's like, you know, I mean, the bottom line is you can learn any skill and turn it around pretty fast. So, you know, I mean, I was sitting here, I just took a permaculture design course and turned some of that knowledge around and got me a client, did a permaculture design. Turned out the guy was a doctor, so he was willing to pay some money.
Nice.
So, you know, and installed 60 trees, learned how to use a mini excavator.
That's awesome. So that's really awesome.
It took a lot longer than I expected, and I hit my head on the mini excavator, split my head open once, but you know,
oh man,
and it was, but yeah, I mean, it was awesome. So, you know, and, there's nothing really stopping anybody from doing that, especially in a land of mediocrity, which is where we're at right now.
Yes.
You know,
I mean, it even makes me think this one guy, this is another Twitter post. I immediately saved it. I'm not sure if he's a freelancer or what he is, but he described it as the salad days when there was no money for anything. He started building workbenches and he got it down to where, so, you know, using 2x6s for the structure and then plywood for the top and for the shelf, and which I built a couple of those just for my own shop. And he was charging on the marketplace $400 plus for one. And he said he was clearing $6,000 to $8,000 a month. And I mean, that's how low the bar is. And, you know, till he was able to get other things lined up. And I totally believe that. And he, it really was inspiring to me because he's like, at the end of it, I was getting him cranked out 30 minutes piece because I could build them so fast. And, you know, it takes very little to excel. And it is the easiest time to be alive. It really is. And to thrive, you know, I've talked to my kids about that, and we had this discussion about, you know, so when you're in college, it's all money going out, you know, you're in the red the whole time because it's all going out. You're either paying for it all out of pocket, but it's, you know, it's so expensive. That's really hard to do. And if you do, then I hope you really believe in whatever you're learning. But you could do that for 4 years and then you're going to be catching on the back end for the next 25, paying it off. And then, or you could start something and say for 4 years, you spend that time figuring out how to be an entrepreneur. And even if it's just a very simple service-based business, you know, like what I'm doing, or building fence, I mean, anything, you know, instead of being money behind for the last 4 years, you're, say if you only make $40,000 a year for those 4 years, instead of spending instead of being $160,000 behind, you're $160,000 ahead. It's $320,000 difference between those two people, you know? Right. And, that is, to me, that's insane. And I'm like, you know, for the person, especially with interest that spent that money on college, yeah, college is will take you any time of your life. Mm-hmm. You know, I finished both of my degrees half online, half in person, but just night school. And thankfully mine was all paid for by the GI Bill. So I don't feel that bad about how I did it. I'd be really ticked if I hadn't, because I mean, they were just such a waste. But you know, if you feel down the line or it becomes obvious to you, you're hitting too many firewalls because you didn't have it, it's not a non-issue. You can go back and do it. Mm-hmm. But you can't ever have those first few years where you say you're not encumbered, you don't have, you're not married, you don't have any kids yet, that you could go out there and roll the dice and actually be risky and have very little repercussions for being risky in a positive way, you know, of trying to build something on your own and how far ahead you could be. So, you know, I've told all my kids, I have a 20-year-old and a 14-year-old now, and I'm like, guys, just roll the dice, go do something. And if it doesn't work out, you're young, it'll be fine. But you're better off doing that than trying to figure out who you are on a banknote, because that's never a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially like, you know, and if you've got a corp job already, then roll the dice and, you know, do this in your spare time and then find multiple income streams. Yes. So that, because you might start doing something and then decide you don't like it that much anyway. It's fun to do when you're doing it yourself. Yep. It's not so much fun to do when you're doing it for somebody else and, you know, and the something breaks down, right? And then you burn a whole day doing it, you know?
Yes.
So yes. And most people are not going to pay for your mistakes, but you can, you can finance your mistakes and learn it and without going hungry, right?
Yeah.
So, and exactly. that's the whole key. It's just like always be learning. And I'm encouraged because late millennials and Gen Z, they know they're not going to have a job for life. Yep. You know, they're not going to have the same place. They know they're not going to retire from with a gold watch. Yep, and, exactly. And you know, some of them are a little bit unyielding and they're still stuck in the corp mindset, but you know, a lot of them are like, hey, you know, go off and started financial counseling. One guy jumped out and started doing financial counseling on the side, liked what he was doing. And then now he's doing it full time.
That's awesome. And I would say also another thing, if you're going to start a service business, say you're a writer, say you do well at Microsoft Excel. There are a lot of people that pay if you know how to do that. And employers will hate me for this, but the best thing you can do, especially if you're young, find a job in the public sector, whether it be for the county, the state, or the Fed, because you're going to have about 10 minutes of actual work to do every day. And then the rest of your day, build your business. And I mean that. Absolutely. That's what I did. I mean, I spent all that time because, I mean, I was doing, you know, I had no real work. And it's just the way it is. Like, public sector is the best place. If you can get into a public sector job, if you're building something digitally on the side, if you're like what I do, service-based business that's digital in nature, where you find a public sector job that has basically no real value besides providing you a check.
Right.
And to be honest, the lower the pay grade, the better. You know, whatever the lowest, least responsible pay grade you can land that pays what you need is the sweet spot, you know, somewhere where you can hide out and not be noticed and build your empire. That's the way to do it. That was the only bad thing. I was a supervisor. I was running an actual airport. So like I was still had fairly high levels of liability. If I could do otherwise, I was a GS-11 is what I was, for anyone that knows what that means. It's a supervisory position. I would have gone a few steps below that and somewhere where I could have hit out and grown it even faster. You know, that would be the way to do it, especially if you could find a public sector job that's remote. Oh my gosh. And they're out there, you know, because the public sector is always way slower than everyone else. So as all the private sector has said, we're going back to the office, the public sector will probably be behind on that by another 5 years.
Yeah, we drive through Topeka and the parking lots are still sort of empty.
Yes.
So the agencies must still be fairly remote.
My mother-in-law, she works for one of the large state agencies and she's remote. She checks in the office once a month.
Sure.
So, I mean, they're out there and she's been 100% remote since 2020. So, or like 99% remote.
Right.
So, yeah, I would say, because if you need to be building these as a side income to take over your full-time income. Speaking from myself, because I don't think there's any way around being in the purgatory of, you know, the $5 to $20 writing jobs. It's just, it's where you're at. When you start, that's just what you can get, you know?
Right.
But I assure you there are whales on the other side that won't think twice about sending you $5, $6, $7 grand a month. They won't even think about it at all. They're out there, but you have to get through that, you know, that wasteland first. And everyone that does this is there. Don't listen to the people, the guru types online, because probably the odds are that they're lying about how they got there, or they're lying about where they're actually at. Maybe they were really good at building an audience, but as far as anything tangible, they've never done that. So you're going to want a job where you have lots of freedom and latitude to actually build this, and you have very little real responsibility. So find a job in the government.
Yep. Oh yeah. I've got horror stories from that.
I don't doubt it.
Yeah. I was working for the state because, I couldn't find a job in Wichita. We moved up here to Northeast Kansas, was working at the state as a state employee. Mm-hmm. And they said, I said, I don't have enough to do. And this was December.
Oh God, why'd you say that?
And they said, cause I was stupid and I felt bad cause I was sitting around doing nothing. And I said, I don't have anything to do.
That's the whole point.
And they go, well, you'll have some more projects in August. I'm like, it's December. And they go, yeah, that's the way it works around here. And then I basically just read books on my Kindle all day long, but then it got to me and I quit. But
don't ever say that, guys. Audience, don't ever say that. You get that your federal job and you want to look a little bit haggard and a little stressed out that you're overworked. Okay. That's, you need to play that angle.
Exactly. Yeah. Or, you know, you get it's the perfect startup job if you just got out of college or if you just got a skill.
Yep.
And they'll stick you with some maintenance programming that's 20 billion years old. And it's something that isn't even in the market anymore, but it doesn't matter because it looks okay on a resume. Yep. And then, you know, you're supporting some Fox Pro database that hasn't been, they haven't even sold Fox Pro since 1984.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, but some dude's retiring and you got to replace him. So you're like, ka-ching.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so yeah, I mean, you know, and then you leverage it into those other things, you know, so that's the best way to, yeah, that's the way to go. I was stupid and didn't really.
Oh yeah.
I had state employee experience and I was able to turn it around and come back as a government contractor.
Oh, that's good. That's very good.
Yeah. So it's like, okay.
But yeah, that's a gift horse. Don't look that one in the mouth. You know, when you're sitting there and you're like, don't tell them you have nothing to do.
Oh yeah.
but seriously, there is a strategy here. In fact, one I've been following recently is, have you ever heard of job stacking?
No.
Stacking multiple remote jobs.
Oh yes. I have heard about this. That's what Elon keeps saying that everybody's doing, remote is doing that.
Well, duh. Why wouldn't you? I just sit there and wonder though. I'm like, how do you deal with conflicts for like meetings? Like, I mean, it's got to come up eventually.
Yeah. Especially in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you've got Microsoft Teams pinging you on one side and Slack on the other, like how do you do that? I don't know. There's people already selling, you know, creating their whole empire on how to do this. And I think that's great if you can swing it. So, again, I think your best bet would be for one of those two to be a public sector job. Because I mean, when I was during the 2020 era, I refuse to even refer to it as the pandemic anymore because it makes it sound like something it wasn't actually.
The last 4 years is a blur and now it's almost 5 years.
I know. I was talking to the wife about that. I was like, God, you can't believe that whole conspiracy kicked off 5 years ago. And yeah. Anyway,
I have to literally write down when stuff happened because I'm like, well, wait a minute. That one thing happened in 2022, you know, and then so everything's just been kind of blur. It's like before COVID and after COVID. So
yes, it's like BC and AD.
That's the problem is everybody's going, everybody wants you to come back in the office. There's three levels now is basically Garmin, people like that are in the office 3 days a week and they're trying to go 4 or 5.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody else is mandatory return to the office 3 days a week, which they're going to, by the end of the year, will force to 4 or 5. And then you got the remote jobs where a billion people interview for it or, yes, you know, apply for it. I had one over the holidays that a guy I knew had 500 applicants for a remote job that he had to go through and figure out. And then basically what he ended up doing was he just went with people he knew. And that's where your contacts come in. You need to be, leveraging your contacts, not the fake Facebook friends and the LinkedIn friends, but the, you know, actually like getting face to face with these folks, you know?
Yes.
Cause that's he's great. Like,
it doesn't really surprise me because now workers want to be remote because you can freaking do everything from your phone. You know, you can put Teams and Slack on your phone and, you know, you're at Target getting diapers or whatever, and you're at work.
I've been running a business. Every day I get up at the time when I normally would have to commute, and I use that commute time before work as business time. I write, I program, I do podcasts, I do my tree empire or whatever else, and then I do the same thing after work. And I'm like, you know, you're cutting into my time. You're cutting into my
how dare you?
Entrepreneurial time. What are you doing? You know,
one thing you said there actually does stand out to me though, that people I think should, I hope they understand is that the different streams of income you do, they don't have to be complementary, even similar at all. I would love to generate some different forms of income, streams of income that have nothing to do with the screen. Because I mean, after 5 or 6 hours, I'm toast. I don't want to look at it anymore. I would love to have something more tactile. If I had a snowplow in my truck, I would have been out plowing sidewalks and parking lots.
$50 a pop.
Yeah.
For crazy. Somebody's driveway.
Yeah. So I think it's important to, if you're going, and I, this is something I've been working on, and it's easy in concept, but building it is hard, is getting those multiple different types of streams of income. And it really sounds, the concept is simple, but it's hard. It's hard to get all these different things. You know, you're juggling a lot of balls in the air at one time.
Right.
So, but like you're talking about doing code and podcasting stuff, but also running your tree empire, you know, get outside, people, you know, don't just sit there behind. You'll become some sort of weird dopamine addicted pasty white ghoul. If that's what you do, you know,
pasty white ghoul.
Yes. Get outside, make one of your income streams, something you can do outside, you know, something, I don't know, mow yards during the summer. And you can make ridiculous money doing that.
I still got the redneck, you know, my neck is still red from the summertime.
We all maintain our color here well into the winter because we're outside all summer long. I start riding really early in summer mornings. Cause like, I don't want to be in here past noon. Like in the winter.
Have you seen the signs at the grocery store that, egg shortage for the next 4 months?
Good grief.
So, you know,
because I don't even look at the eggs.
Yeah. You and I are egg and poultry kings here. Pretty soon we'll have a egg and poultry empire.
Yes. Yeah, I actually finally got it after this is the fifth winter I think I've had chickens. I finally got the whole thing ironed out and I've had good production all winter. Every year before this, I always lose off at like October, November, and I won't see an egg until March. And today we got a dozen from 20 birds and I was extremely happy with that. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. Put a heating lamp out there in the coop and keep it on. I have it on a timer set. So it's just during the day, but a little bit past, but not at night. So, you know, it won't totally screw up their cycle.
Yeah,
and
that's
then
good.
I built a gravity feeder for them that holds about 160 pounds of feed so that their little fatties can go eat as much as they want. Mm-hmm. And so that's all it took. I didn't realize it all had to do with feed. I just weren't getting enough. But so that's what I'm talking about. Learn some different skills or you will burn yourself out if all your stuff is coming off of screens.
Correct.
You will burn yourself out so quick. You know, build workbenches or something that gets you away from the screen because nothing's going to torch you faster than being hooked to your screen constantly.
Sure.
I hate it. I really hate it, but it's the money is so good. I can't walk away from it. This year is where I'm really going to hone in on trying to develop it as an agency and not an individual freelancer. Because I want to get to the point where I'm the copy chief and running the agency from my phone and spending less time actually sitting there, you know, doing the writing work because I want to not be tethered to my office so much.
Mm-hmm.
So, that is the next year to 2 years, really the direction I want to take because I want to take my life back and not be tethered to a screen all the time. So for anyone,
so you're going to be looking for writers, right?
Yes. But I gotta drum up more work first.
Yeah.
But I quit aiming small. I'm aiming really big. So, that is something I will be looking for. But I implore everyone to, as you're building this life kind of by design, make sure you're not building one where you are just a little lab rat in a dopamine maze, because you will get fried so quick.
Mm-hmm. Really, yeah. It's sort of like what they say about homeschooling, right? If you mimic the things that don't work about regular school, then you're going to fail at homeschooling. And in this situation, you're going to do the same thing. You know, if you're sitting at the screen all day long, I mean, I'm going to have to go to the chiropractor tomorrow morning and get popped because I've been like this, you know, and stuff. And you know, and I'm all tight in here and stuff. And I don't hardly ever go to the chiropractor or anybody to do that. So, yeah, it's that's what the world's come to.
Yes.
So
I think that's the takeaway is that you can design, you can just teach yourself whatever you want. Give yourself time. If you are listening to a guru that says you're going to do it in 6 months, they're a complete liar and they're probably trying to get you to sign up for their groups and their courses and take your money and they're going to run. This takes time. You can be competent enough at a skill after 6 months of learning to sell it. That does not mean that it's a license to learn. That's all it is. You're going to take years perfecting the craft. I am far from perfect. I'm just a whole lot better than I was 9 years ago. You don't have to be the fastest. You've got to outrun the bear, right? So,
just got to outrun your friend.
Yeah. Sorry, Carl. Yeah, that's exactly it. And I saw the best quote. And if you're aiming for perfection, that's not attainable. There are just varying degrees of good enough. All right. You need to get a skill, push it out on the market, figure out what people are willing to hire for, people are willing to do. And then the things that work, just replicate them and do them over and over again. And then don't be afraid to say uncle. I do not ever want to go back to having a job, but I made peace with the fact that if I ever have to, it's going to be temporary because I've had enough years now of having 6+ figures income doing this. I know it works. I know it'll happen, but if there's lulls that last for a long time, just have to go back and get a job until it passes over. Cause it will pass over.
Right.
But you know, there's, you have a lot of risk every time you walk out the door. You know, you go to a mm-hmm. corporate job, you might get laid off. You know, you go to a government job, you're going to die of boredom. You know,
yeah, it's not even a layoff anymore. I mean, you know, they're not calling you back.
Yeah, exactly. And so. If you do this, I mean, it is risky. You have zero protection at all, but it doesn't sound like people at Blue Cross Blue Shield had any protection either.
No.
So, all of them is just different layers of there's risk in all of them. But especially if you work in the corporate world, you need to be leveraging your time or talents you already have and doing something on the side. Because I guarantee you, of those 35 people that get laid off, if any of them have side hustles, they are a lot more comfortable than the one that was banking on staying there. You know,
right?
The guy that said, "Well, it's not that much, but I'm doing $3,000 a month on the side," it's a lot better off than the person that was doing nothing and lost everything. Mm-hmm. So. There's no downside to it. If you play your cards right, you can find jobs where they're not that demanding and you can focus on building. And I've heard a lot of people talk about when you should leave your job. Not until you're like, I've heard some of them say not until you're like 4 times, 10 times your salary. I'm like,
that's crazy.
I'm sorry. If I'm making $80,000 a year at my salary job, I'm not waiting till I'm making $800,000. To walk. That's stupid.
Right. And even if you are, I mean, you need to have multiple streams of income. So yes. That $80,000, you're going to replace your income, but it needs to be not $80,000 with something else in one silo. Right.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, that's really all up to every individual person. If you want to right at the point where you've hit the replacement income, I wouldn't do it the second you hit that. You want to make sure it's consistent for a while. Mm-hmm. But you know, I was a little bit, you know, butt hurt when that big client dropped me, but you know, I worked for them for 3.5 years. That's longer than most people work for a job anyway. So,
yeah.
You know, I was like, well, I've worked for them for a long time and I learned about a very specific niche in the automotive market. And I've actually have 3 leads of their direct competitors because they, mm-hmm. it's hard to find a writer that knows about that specific thing they did. And I do because I wrote it. So, you know, but
yeah.
the biggest thing is it's going to take you time. So
yeah.
That's why I said best time to start was 5 years ago, but if you didn't, you can start right now. And in 5 years, you're probably going to be on your own if you choose
right.
to. Otherwise, I mean, I'm sitting here like, and it's hard to say where I would have been if I were still working a job because I wouldn't, your mindset's way different because you feel like you have a safety net. Mm-hmm. But I'm also like, well, I probably could have kept going there and tacked on an extra 10 grand a month. And that would have been pretty cool, you know?
Yeah.
And yes, those are real numbers that you really could do. It doesn't sound realistic at first, but it really does happen and it can happen. And this isn't a pitch for some crappy course. This is just a reality.
Yeah,
once
reality.
You get good enough, you can charge a lot. So just start picking one thing. That does take me to one more thing. I'm kind of frequency hopping here, but pick one thing and get really good at it.
Mm-hmm.
Before you start trying to learn other complementary things, pick a one thing that, like I already was talking about, go on Upwork, find a skill there that is consistent. And actually, to piggyback on that, look at several years of those. Go back 5 or 6 years.
Sure.
Look at the skills. Because, I mean, some of those are hot, like AI stuff. Those weren't even on the radar in 2022. You know, mm-hmm. no one was thinking mm-hmm. about it except for a select few. But normies like us were not thinking about AI. We're like, oh, what's this ChatGPT thing? This looks useful, you know? I don't know. And
people are still using ChatGPT mainly as a search engine. They're not using it like it, you know, as you can for the power it has.
Yeah. Right? I know they're asking, and which it gives erroneous information all the time.
Yeah, but you could set it up, you know, without doing a whole AI episode here. I mean, the power of it is assigning it a role.
Yes.
And then have it do something like that.
Oh, but, dude, it is such a time saver for me structuring articles, mm-hmm. like not any real content,
but sure.
the structure of the articles, like if I can feed it a list of keywords and things, high notes I want to hit, and even tell them what website it's for and ask it to copy my tone for just the structure, just the headings, it saves me an hour for every article. And then Oh, you're good.
Yeah. So I've been using Claude because ChatGPT seems like it changes my voice too much.
Yes.
So, you know, one of the things that I like that you posted about here recently, and not without giving away your secrets, is that, you know, there's that underserved market that is the mom and pop store.
Yep.
You know, start reaching out to them. That's another way you can get your foot in the door and make make an impact without having to be waiting for the big company, the big Garmin to hire you. Right.
Yeah. And you'd also be surprised at how much revenue some small businesses bring in. Like,
sure.
Like really crazy amounts that that client let me go. I would have never, ever guessed that at their high point, their monthly revenue was close to seven figures. I just would have never I was like, what? It was a website that four dudes started in their apartment in like 2017 or something. And I was like, it was almost seven figures a month. And my editor was like, yeah, dude, it was almost seven figures a month. So don't underestimate that. Some of them have crazy budgets. And and usually an actual established company, even a small business, you know, anywhere from 5 to 20% of their operating budget is for marketing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the biggest thing is just getting yourself in front of them to where they'll respond back to you. And I mean, you are going to have a little bit of thick skin. And that's why Upwork has become so popular, because you don't have to have very thick skin there, because people are already putting their needs out there and you're just applying for it like a job.
Right.
Trying to actually reach out to local people is harder. I haven't had a lot of interest local. My stuff has still been on the national scale, but I mean, a lot of it would just depend on what you're targeting. So,
yeah. But I mean, we know somebody, you know, somebody that knows somebody, you know, you just go in, you know, I mean, I got the gig putting the trees in because this one guy, doctor guy, was talking to my son-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, hey, yeah, I just bought this farm, doing this thing. I want to do something with this acre over here. You know, he's got the proper mindset going on, right?
Yes.
Oh yeah. Well, you should talk to you should talk to Scott. And so, you know, stuff like that. You could do the same thing with the mom and pop that's down on Main Street.
Totally.
You know, especially in some place like Topeka, right? So, totally. You know, mm-hmm. you talk to someone down there, and then they're, because you know someone who knows them.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's another thing. The maxim about get out from behind your screen.
Yeah.
And go meet people. It's really important. My wife and I went to a gala with the local Humane Society holds. And I was just shocked. Like, first off, it was a great, this was back in October. It was a great reminder of the kind of money that's actually floating around, because they were doing these silent auctions. And I think the winner was like $25,000. This dude donated to them to get a wing in the shelter with his name on it. I was like, 25 G's. So I immediately looked him up.
That's
on LinkedIn.
Cheap for a wing. Yeah.
But I was like, it's just a wing at a shelter, you know, but, so I immediately looked him up and followed him on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And so there are enormous amounts of resources, even in small and medium sized cities in the Midwest. So if you're in a closer to something big, like a Dallas or something like that, or St. Louis, I mean, my gosh, it's almost unfathomable what's available at your fingertips there.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not going to come to you. You know, you have to bring something useful to the table.
Right.
And it's all about ideation. It's all about refining that. And then once you actually get them on the horn, you know, how do you close it? Can you close it? So there's a lot of things involved here, but you can literally start at your library and start the journey today. And if you're willing to put in the reps, you can do whatever you want with it. You know, you have to be willing to do it. And that time is going to pass whether you did something with it or whether you watched TikTok videos, you know, like, you know, those last 9 years were going to pass whether I did something useful or if I just sat around staring at the wall.
Exactly. That sounds good. Yeah. Thanks a lot, John. I appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good talking with you again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Hey, if you like this episode, leave us a tip on Venmo or Cash App at Thriving the Future. Or join the Patreon, patreon.com/thrivingthefuture. You get early episodes and you get extras. Thank you. Check out Thriving News. That's where Perpin and I share longer form articles about homesteading, mindset, milpa gardening, food forest, etc. Go check it out at thrivingnews.com. Thank you for listening to Thrive in the Future podcast. If you like what you hear, please click that like or subscribe button in your favorite podcast app. Follow us on Twitter at Thrive in the Fute, and also go to thriveinthefuture.com.